Sweeter as the Days Go By, number 185. And when you find your places, would you please stand? Shall we bow our heads? Oh, Heavenly Father, we gather before you once again, Lord, singing songs, asking for prayers. Lord, we pray that you will continue to guide your spirit amongst us, Lord, that we can stay tuned and stay focused with thee. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful reunion that you provided us, Lord, the spiritual reunion. I pray that you will continue to guide and direct your children as they prepare to go home or go to other congregations, Lord. I pray that you watch over them and keep them safe and out of harm's way. Lord, I thank you for the time that we spent together. I pray that we will be rejuvenated, Lord, uplifted and rejoiced. Lord, at this time, I do pray that you will continue to once again be with all those on our prayer list. I pray that you'll continue to part your loving spirit with our brother as he brings us the final message for this reunion, that you'll touch his heart, open up his mind. And Lord, I once again thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us, that we can spend but just a brief moment with you, Lord. And I pray that you will continue to allow us to do so. And Lord, I thank you so much for being our God. And I ask this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. And we will continue with number 312, a higher ground. And would you please stand again? Well, I do consider myself, and I pray that everybody else feels the same way, that we were richly blessed throughout this reunion, especially to have apostles show up to a reunion. Their schedules are so, I want to call it insane. they're always everywhere around the world, and to get them rounded up together is a task, and I pray him God thanks that he was able to get three of you snagged up together. And as always, with our local, we pray that as not only the apostles, but as other ministers travel throughout this country and throughout the world, we pray that they continue to stay safe. Some of the stories that we hear from our brothers that have traveled and come back, you know, I consider it in the United States that we have it easy. We really do. We're blessed. And to go to these other countries and see how their lives are lived, it's an eye-opener. It really is. And to experience some of that, it will change your life forever. It really will. But we were fortunate enough to get three apostles to come to our reunion. And when I sent out did I text you guys? I don't know. I think I texted. Did I text you? I did text you, huh?
You did.
Hey, check me out. Because I don't text anybody. But I sent out a text. And okay, here's a confession. I did have to ask Karen how to group text. There we go. I know how to group text now. So I group texted them. And I said, you know, at the local, we want to hear all you guys speak, you know. And I said, we don't know, you know, who wants to speak, so I'm just going to throw it out there, and you guys duke it out amongst yourselves, who's going to do the sacrament service, who's going to do the final service. And I think Brian drew the short straw. So he's, you know, all the scriptures are gone now. And so he's doing the final service. And I pray that, I don't pray. I know that God has led him. And I know that the words that he speaks are coming from God. And I pray that, once again, that we stay focused and, we're probably still, we're not hungry anymore. You know, we just recently ate, and after Brian's service, we're going to eat again. So, so I say this in a good way. Take your time. But I pray that we can continue to be spiritually fed. And I pray that you will continue to allow, you know, not only our local to experience the wonderful fellowship that we had with our brothers and sisters. And I want to thank you so much for that. But at this time, I do wish to invite our last speaker of the reunion, our apostle, Brian McIndoe.
Thank you, Rich. I am confident that I will not speak to you until you're hungry again. As we have these opportunities to speak to you, I know for myself, and I'm sure for the other ministry that have this obligation, this opportunity, that our desire is that we can speak the things of the Lord, and that in our humanness and our own weakness, we can convey the message that we are feeling. And I have that same desire tonight, and hopefully that I can convey the message I am trying to get across. If I had to put just a general thought on it, it's almost with the song we just sang. Why we're even here tonight, what I hope to convey to you is that in this song, it says we're standing here, and it's not a bad place, but we want God to plant us higher. We want higher ground. That's why we come. That's why we don't just say, hey, we met our course and we're done. We keep searching for this higher ground. And that's what I hope to convey, you know, as I speak this night. You know, it's not something that I'm pointing out that you need to fix. It's something that you need to remember. We need to remember these things to encourage us, to help us, to strengthen us, to know that we're walking in the right path and on the right track. I have some notes here. They were a work in progress. I kept having thoughts right up till the very first service. And I'm gonna begin in Romans 14. And Jerry said part of this. He didn't read it, but he did say part of this. But we're going to, in Romans chapter 14, I am going to start in verse 17 and 18. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." Kingdom of heaven. That's what we're seeking. That's the highest ground. That's what that last song said, you know. We know that that's available to us. It's not tangible. It's not worldly. It's not the meat. It's not the drink. When we go out and we teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, a lot of places we go, they're looking for a mother church that will take care of their temporal needs. And that's not, you know, we have to just tell them right up front, you know, it's not why we're here. Forget it. You're not getting anything. That's not true, really, because our brothers and sisters stand in need. We do help them. But we tell them what we are here for is to bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about the temporal things of this world. The world cares for those things. It's the righteousness. The righteousness, the right things of God. This is what will make you acceptable before God. I'm going to back up to verses 11 and 12. Here Paul is talking to the Romans, or somebody's talking to the Romans. He says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." He starts out, "It is written." Where's that written? Anybody know? I know, because I looked it up. Isaiah chapter 45. I had to look it up. Hopefully you knew that, but Isaiah chapter 45, and I would just like to read it from there. Verses 22 and 23. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, and the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." You know, as we read this, he tells us, first off, where I started, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to swear. Why? Because there's going to be a day for everyone of perfect knowledge. They're going to know the power of God as they stand before him in judgment. They can't deny. They're going to know the power of God when he reveals himself to this world when Christ returns, and they cannot deny it. It is going to happen. And when it does, people are going to bow the knee, and they're going to have to confess the truth because of God's glory. But he says his word's not going to come back to him void. It's not empty. It's not just something he's saying. It's absolute. It's not meaningless. It's true. Just like when God said, "Let there be light." What's the next words? There was light. When he says every knee, the day's going to come that everybody's going to know, and everybody's going to confess, it's going to happen. What we do today in this life is in preparation. We will be prepared. We're not going to be taken by surprise. We're not going to have to stand his judgment and feel guilt because of what we've done, but we're prepared. Our knees already bent, our tongue already confesses, because we believe and we trust and we've made ready. We're not taken by surprise, but we rejoice and we glorify God. And this is what we are called to do. You know, the prophets of old, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, they were sent by God to tell God's people, wake up, return to me, come back to your first love. And that's why we still use them, because we're still God's people. And we still need to wake up and remember and return and glorify his name at every opportunity because we love him. But I'd like to use a prophet Hosea, chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 12. It starts out, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. You know, it starts out with something he's telling us to do. Sow. Plant. We have the duty ourselves to plant those things which are righteous before God in our life. To do his will, to keep his word, to trust in him, to honor him, to glorify him. To do, as it says in the Book of Mormon, to stand as a witness at all times and all places, even unto death. So, put it in there. And if you do, just like all of you that ever planted a garden, which is probably every one of you, you got to put a seed in the ground before you can pluck the fruit. That's just the way it is. He says, you sow this righteousness, you're going to reap mercy. We got to have faith. We have to hate sin. We have to remove it from our life. We have to be a creature that's living in the Spirit of God. We have to cultivate and show charity and love to our neighbors. You know, our brother talked about that. You know, who's our neighbor? Gosh, it's not the guy living here. My neighbor's my sister on one side, my father's on the other side, and it's pretty easy to love them. Well, sometimes not so much, but it's the guy that is our enemy. It's the guy that's our problem. It's the guy that's fighting against us, and we're still showing that kind of love, loving them. Increase our knowledge in the Word of God. Sow God's word into our life by studying, applying, understanding, sharing. And then we can reap. Then we can harvest. Then we can collect the mercy of God at that great judgment day. You know, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 through 10, it says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. It's showing in this verse, as I understand it, that you are personally responsible for your life. I cannot fix you. You cannot fix me. We cannot put blame somewhere else for our failures, for our shortcomings. We have to examine ourselves. We can't use our circumstances to justify what we do. What we must do is take the higher ground, the way of God, the way of righteousness. Let's continue reading that passage. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We know, just like I first read, you know, this world is not meat and drink. This flesh is corruptible. We all live in it. We all deal with the weaknesses of it. And we all have the temptations of it. But he says, if you sow to it, then you reap corruption. But if you sow the things of the Spirit, then you're going to reap that which we're looking for, everlasting life. There really is no other reason why we're here. That's what we all look for, is everlasting life. You know, Rich and I had a conversation. We were driving down the road. I can't remember what road that was, but there was a cryotherapy place, and we started talking about cryonics or whatever it is. And outside of Phoenix is a big laboratory where people freeze themselves and spend thousands and thousands and millions of dollars in hopes that someday they can thaw them out and bring them back to life. People want to live that bad, but the flesh can't do it. They put their efforts in the wrong place. There is a way of having everlasting life, and it's through God. It's through the ways of God, through the avenue that God prepared for us. And that is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Belief on him. Somebody asked, I think it was Roger. Maybe not, maybe it was Jerry. I got a 50-50 chance here. Who did Jesus die for? Every one of us. Even the people outside this door. But you have to come to him. You got to put your faith in him. You got to believe. You got to do the things of righteousness. You got to sow in your life so you can take a benefit from that. You know, God has allowed Satan to place temptations and struggles and trials in our lives. And when we overcome them, when we forsake them, when we walk in the right path, this shows God that we truly love him and we love his Son and we want to be one of his children. Continue reading in Galatians. It says, and let us not be weary of well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Interesting, you know. Don't be weary of doing good things or right things. In due season we're going to reap as long as we don't faint. In other words, he's telling us something you hear all the time. I say it all the time. Everybody says it. You have to endure to the end. It's an important part of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. You don't step your foot in the door and then stop. You have to endure. You have to continue. You have to want God to call you up higher. Continue reading. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. You know, I had a little experience with that scripture. I kind of had to use it to strengthen me a few times in Kenya. In fact, one time I was there kind of by myself, and man, it was getting difficult, you know. People are just different there. What can I say? You know, they talk to you different. They ask things different, and they don't ever ask for what they really want. They ask in pieces. I'll just give you a quick example. We were chopping down some timbers on our property, and they said, three of them sitting there. They said, Brother Brian, we need to cut down that tree. Can you buy us an axe? How much is an axe? They gave me a figure. Yeah, I can take care of that. So I go over and get in my bag and unzip my zipper and pull out the money and count it out and get him to give it to him. Hand it to him. Brother Brian? Yes. Can you pay for the handle for the axe? Okay, how much is that? So they gave me a figure. So I went over to my bag, I unzipped the zipper, got the money out, counted it out, zipped it all back up, came back over and handed it to him. Brother Brian? Yes, I mean, I'm already feeling this coming to my head just thinking about this. Yes. Can you pay for the mechanic to fit the handle to the axe? I printed this passage. You know, there's four or five things like this happened in a matter of a few days. I printed this passage. Do not be weary of well-doing, especially to your brothers and sisters. And I plastered it right next to my bedroom door in my house. And I had to look at it every time I walked through my door. Because I'm an American. And I want to know, give me a price, I'll give you the money, we're done. You know, that's the way I work, you know. But that's not the way they work there. And I needed to learn patience. And I needed to help them. I needed to help the next person that had a problem, the next person that asked me for something in the same manner. I had to keep my charity and my brotherly love. And this is what we're called to do. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give an attitude of charity, love and concern and welfare for others. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. And running over shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. If I want their love and their respect, I have to show it to them, even when they're driving me crazy. Help them. Shepherd them. Guide them. Be patient with them. There's no difference when we make a trip from Phoenix to Boise or Boise to Missouri or Missouri to Phoenix. We're dealing with different customs, ideas, way of doing things. Show respect. None of it's wrong. It's just different. Show love and charity. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountiful shall also reap bountiful. You know, I find this very interesting and very true and something that is good to remember. You know, the more love and charity and respect and honor we show to each other, the more we will receive, the more we glorify God, the more he will touch our lives, the more we avail ourselves to his will, the higher he will raise us up. If we do it sparingly, we'll only reap sparingly. I'm going to continue reading. Every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And yea, also, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. I'm going to continue reading here, but as we continue reading, we see about one who ministers, one who serves God. He does not minister to others without first ministering to himself. He does not make demands upon others without applying it to himself. I'm going to continue reading in verses 10 through 14. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed soweth and increases the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us the thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saint, but is abundant also by making thanksgiving unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for the professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. As we sow good seeds of righteousness, we need to sow them liberally, sharing the truth of the gospel, professing the truth of the gospel amongst the world, amongst our friends, amongst our co-workers, that we can receive the benefits and glory and mercy that God has for us. I'm going to back up to Hosea. In Hosea, we had read, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. And that was in verse 12, but he continues in verse 12. He goes on to say, break up your fallow ground. You know, and I thought I knew what that word meant. I thought I knew exactly what that word meant. And I looked it up and I didn't know what that word meant. That word, fallow ground, means it's been plowed, but it has sat there idly. It's just sat there. Ground that's been plowed, left unseeded for a year or more. Well, I've seen fields like that where somebody's plowed it, got ready to do something, they've done nothing. And what happens? Rains come periodically, and pretty soon that ground looks perfectly plowed, but it's hard, and it won't accept the seed. It won't take it. And he says, break it up. Break up the hardness. Prepare to sow that seed. If there's fallow ground, if there's things that have hardness in our life that will keep the words of God from penetrating and being useful to us, break it up. Make it soft and pliable. Let it be malleable so that the seed can come in and germinate and grow within us. If there's things of hardness like prejudice, jealousy, stubbornness, laziness, not taking the time to pray, not taking the time to worship, break it up. Make it soft. Change your ways. The prophet Jeremiah gives a warning. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. He says, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thy abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not amongst the thorns. You know, the parable of Jesus talks about seed being sowed in thorns, and it doesn't grow there. It doesn't grow. It gets choked out. And another place it tells us those thorns are the cares of this life, if I remember right. The cares of life. If the cares of life are choking out the words of God, choking out the duties you have before him, break them up. Get rid of them. Make them soft. Put them in the back, because they're the least important aspects of this life. Hosea chapter 12, I'm going to continue to read again. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Break up your fallow ground, plant the good seed. It's time to seek the Lord. You know, now is the time. Now is the time to prepare ourselves. It's a passage you've all heard. Every minister has used it. This is the day of our probation. But, you know, we might have 90 years of it. Are you taking the opportunities during the days of your probation? Are you taking those days? You taking that opportunity for good work, opportunity to witness, opportunity to worship, opportunity to attend, opportunity to pray? Now is the time to seek the Lord. If you're enduring to the end, every day you're starting new. Take that opportunity to seek the Lord. You must plant if you desire to harvest. I'm going to turn to Isaiah. I'm not going to turn to, I got it on my paper here. Isaiah 51, 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. If you want to follow righteousness, look unto the rock. Isaiah 55, verse 6 through 13. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. When is that? Every opportunity that avails itself. You can call upon him. Every opportunity that you have to be in church, to be in a meeting, to worship, while you are healthy, while you're able, while you have the strength, seize that opportunity. He goes on, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is there. He's waiting for us. He wants to bring us to a higher ground. We need to seize those opportunities. He goes on, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as a rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. You know, again, God is telling us, my word, the second time, his word, his law, his message to us, his commandments will not return unto him void. The things that he has promised, the path to eternal life, the return of his son Jesus Christ, standing in judgment, giving account of our actions in this life, his blessing upon you, all these things are going to take place. Just like the rain comes and the snow comes, it brings up the crops. His word should grow within us, and it will make us ready. Sometimes we might second guess or ask God about his laws, by his commandments. Sometimes we can't understand them, so we second guess them. But you know, we are like children. Little children, their parents tell them to do something, they don't understand it. But the parent knows what's best. And we make them do it, if they understand it or not. And God says, some of these things you may not understand because you don't see the picture I see, but it is what's best for you. Believe it. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Don't think that your wisdom is better than the wisdom of God's word. God's word will provide for our needs. It's food to our souls. It's oxygen to our lungs. It's the water we drink. His work. If we do his work, we will be judged with righteousness. I'm going to continue reading. It says, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands." And then he goes on, he said, "Instead of thorns shall come up the fir tree. Instead of briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." You know, we have, like we see in scriptures a lot of time, there are two parts. There's the part that we want. There's the part we don't want. He tells us the good. He tells us the bad. He tells us what will happen if we do what's right. He tells us what happens if we do what's wrong. He almost always tells us both sides of the story. And here he says, you know, there's two sides of the story. But you have the opportunity. Instead of thorns, you can have a fir tree. A fir tree needs water. If it doesn't have it, it's going to die. And the Lord watereth. He watereth with his word. Instead of briars, a myrtle tree also needs plenty of water. The word of God. So we have to allow the word of God to water us, help us to grow, to bring us up higher. It is God's desire. It is his desire that we stand on a higher plane, that we go from here prepared to be his children, to be his servants, to be his witnesses, to make our lives ready for whenever it is that we stand in his presence. Bowing the knee because we rejoice. Not bowing the knee because of shame and fear, but in glorifying God. So I do thank you for your time. I thank you for being here at this reunion. I thank those of you that assisted in the helping our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia. They did stand in great need of your prayers. They are doing some better. We're sure when Duane and I get there, we'll find that there are still more needs. And we thank you for your love for them. And I thank you for your love and your support and patience having us here at this reunion. So may God bless you each. Thank you.
Well, as we bring our reunion, well, the service part of our reunion to a close, I want to once again thank everybody for coming here and spending some time with us, and more importantly, to spend some time with God. I got down here shortly after preaching service. We're going to have dinner again, so I don't know if you guys are hungry or... Oh, you're starving? Okay. Yeah, it's been 20 minutes, so. So, we'll have the food out there. If you guys are hungry, it'll be out there. If not, that's fine, too. We will bring our service to a close with the use number 80. Who are these? Arrayed in white, number 80. And when you find your places, would you please stand? Before we bow our heads, can we please close with number 23? Number 23. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bring our services to a close, I pray, giving you thanks once again, Lord, for the wonderful blessings that you bestowed upon us, for the wonderful spirit that we felt, Lord. I pray that you will continue to have it run to the course of our body, Lord, our hearts and our mind. Lord, this time I do pray, giving you thanks for the messages that were brought before us, Lord, for the wonderful testimonies that were shared, for the wonderful fellowship that we have, and for the love that we have for one another with our brothers and sisters throughout this country and throughout the world. Lord, I pray that you will continue to guide and direct us in everything that we do. I pray that we'll be able to stand forth and be granted that strength to go up against our adversaries. Lord, they're out there. And we know that they're out there and that they're trying to take control. But Lord, we know who wins in the end. Lord, we pray that we will continue to be guided in that direction, Lord. I pray that you will continue to be with your children. And Lord, I pray, giving you thanks once again for being our God, allowing us to be your children. Lord, at this time I do pray, giving you thanks for the food that we're about to receive, that I continue to nourish and strengthen us throughout this night. But Lord, I also pray that as there are people that will probably be traveling back home, Lord, I pray that you'll guide them and direct them and be their driver, to be their pilot, to be their guide, that you'll provide a very safe trip home. Lord, I pray, giving you thanks once again for everything that you do and for the opportunity that you've given us to be at this local. And Lord, I thank you once again for our family. And I ask this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.